It all began, like so many things do, with Supertramp. Ask Mark Watson to name his top five mystical, spiritual experiences in life, and what you will likely find is reference to an Easter Sunday evening in 1979. Touring in support of their breakthrough Breakfast in America album, the English art rock band stopped by the Spokane Arena for an unbelievable evening of rock and roll. The sound was stunningly pristine, detailed, moving, thrilling. The top 40 songs were note perfect, and the more favored, deeper album cuts simply mind-blowing. This is the first episode of Faith Biscuits. It's called Mark Chapter 1. And it's devoid of any mention of Jesus' baptism or subsequent temptation or healing any unclean spirits. But there is a wilderness. And there was a wild man with prophetic urgency. Mark was raised in a conservative Presbyterian family in the surprisingly dry and sunny southeast corner of Washington State in Walla Walla. A town so exciting, I used to tease him that they named it twice. Mark and I were roommates at Whitworth College on the north side of Spokane in eastern Washington. Attending concerts was just one of our many extracurricular activities. And what a trip it was. Over our 4 years, we spent hours talking faith, life, women, and always music. He was the one friend from college I stayed in regular touch with over the years.
Don't worry, I'm going to edit this to make us both sound really smart.
Oh, sure.
Mark majored in English, went on to earn his master's from Washington State University, and another master's in library science from the University of Chicago. He currently serves as Associate Dean for Research Services at the University of Oregon in Eugene. He recently won the Sustainability Award in Campus Design for his work in helping bring about a new research library. And then, at the age of 57, he converted to Judaism. And that was why I was pulling into his driveway 40 years later to find out what had happened. My wife and I, on a 2-week West Coast road trip, drove into Eugene, Oregon, an utterly charming city of progressive politics and diverse clientele. The GPS took us to his home, a beautiful place where he lives with his wife. Two daughters having grown and moved on, it has an oversized feel that matches Mark's inner life. He met us out front, sitting in a lawn chair with a big smile on his face. A Bluetooth speaker played Supertramp, just for me. I had to find out what had gone wrong. What had gone right?
Mark, thank you for being here in your own house. When I introduce stories about you to my congregation, either at Genesis or at Southminster previously in Boise, sometimes I'll say something like this to my people. I said, if you don't have a friend who can end your career with a phone call, you don't really have a friend, and I'm only ever thinking of you.
The night we arrived, we had gone out with our spouses to a nice dinner and conversation, and now the next day we were sitting in his family room, sharing a couch.
Rooming with you for 4 years, you were so sweet last night talking about God being so good to both of us to supposedly randomly put us together back in the late 70s at Whitworth College. Good stuff.
I think growing up in Walla Walla was formative in so many ways for me. I mean, when the time that I was there as a kid, I mean, it was an agricultural community. And so that gave me an opportunity from really early age, like fifth grade on, to work, you know, in the local ag scene.
You made some money driving trucks and
Peace Wather, picked cucumbers, did a lot of strawberries, worked at a grain elevator.
I remember those stories.
And the great thing about it was, is that that was my spending money. So it was great for me, but I think, you know, it had some negative consequences in some ways too, right?
Because you had more money than you needed or something?
Well, yeah. So, you know, what does that result in? Too many late night Thunderbirds at Denny's and too many pizzas, too many beverages.
Oh, we loved going to Denny's at night. Isn't it called the Superbird or something? Thunderbird, yeah, Superbird?
I think it was Superbird.
We at midnight, suddenly you realize you're hungry because you haven't eaten for 6 or 7 hours. Let's go have another dinner.
You know, and why not, you know, some big, gooey, you know, like fried cheese and turkey sandwich with fries.
Let's go right now.
Really hits the spot.
Didn't you smoke a pipe for a while at Whitworth? I think
I tried.
Yeah, you had fun playing with it and warming it up and tamping it down and lighting it.
Right. It's as much, you know, just sort of...
the ritual. I remember you talking about that. Well, also, you were an English major because that made sense. English majors should be smoking pipes and doing their reading and writing.
Exactly.
Whitworth University is a small liberal arts school supported by the Presbyterian Church. A collection of beautiful brick buildings on an isolated campus strewn with massive ponderosa pines. We had both loved our time there. January term is a 4-week time for trying something new and in-depth.
And you're watching plays in the evening and that kind of thing?
Yeah, you had to pick. You had to pick one of the arts.
All right, to focus on.
And then, like, totally invest yourself in it. So this is a recipe for, like, complete overindulgence. So I'd spend all my days... uh-huh. In the dark, because I decided I was going to do movies, films.
Oh, God.
So I just go to 3 or 4 movies, and then, of course, in the evening, you know.
Go play with your friends. Go party.
Exactly.
Go eating and drinking.
That's where I picked up my preference for George Dickel.
I don't know who that is.
That's a whiskey.
Okay. I thought you were going to say, oh, he's an English writer from the 16th century, but I became an expert in it. It's a whiskey.
It was supposedly the brand that Leonard
favored. Oh, that's why.
Favored.
Oh, I do remember this.
So, you know, there was a lot of, you know.
Beautiful.
I need to be like him.
We all wanted to be like Leonard. Is he still living? You know?
Yeah.
In his 90s now? 80s? No, only 80s.
Probably 80s, yeah. But I think his career at Whitworth is over 50 years long now.
Incredible.
You know, because we left in 80, I mean, he was still going at it 30 years later.
Incredible. What a mind and what a great professor and a kind human being.
There were so many of them. I think we were at Whitworth at a really incredible time.
Valedictorian for our class.
I'm not sure they called it valedictorian,
I do remember
getting up the president's cup or something.
There we go.
There was like a little trophy.
Yeah, exactly. that raised my stock considerably. It's like, look what your roommate did. He's the student of the year, whatever. And the senior honors form or whatever that might have been. And that would have been so far from where I lived. You were such a better student than me. You did your reading. And the thing is, what I remember about that is your friends in the English department, I was psych major, your friends in the English, they got it. They had been with you in class. They knew how smart you were, how hard you worked. The rest of the people, like my friends, Watson got this? What are they giving it to him for? Isn't he the guy who parties with Shrum all the time? I see them walking across campus. Why the hell would they give him an award?
You're listening to Faith Biscuits, a tasty bit of food for thought for the road.
Jekyll and Hyde, you know, kind of thing. I look back on those years where it was like, if I can maintain, you know, some level standard somewhere, then everything else can be crazy.
All right, and your grades are what you decided. Of course, keep your parents happy and keep the career going, and that give you permission for everything else.
Right.
Bravo.
I think we remember how we used to say that we're partying now because we know someday we'll stop.
I forgot about that. That was our justification. That's why we're partying now, because someday we'll have to stop. Brilliant. You were raised in a Presbyterian church. How would you characterize, what, First Press Walla Walla?
Yeah.
It was it evangelical? I mean, I don't know what that word meant at the time. A little different now. Your parents are very faithful, very involved. You were like me, always at youth group.
Yeah, definitely grew up in the church, you know, to the extent that the core of my friends and social circle was also
right
based on the church.
Did we go to church when we were?
Yeah, sometimes. if we weren't too hungover.
Did we go to Northwood? We went to Northwood. Did we both go there?
In fact, well, we did, and we actually sang in the choir
for
a brief
that.
Period of time.
Sure, they would have loved having us a couple of baritones. You were singing tenor, weren't you?
I was probably singing tenor. Yeah. But, you know, the guy that was the pastor there.
John? Don't remember.
He ended up here in Eugene.
Oh, I didn't know
that. He was
a
senior pastor of Westminster Presbyterian Church for many years.
Oh, my gosh, I remember that
over
now.
There on Coburg Road. I mean,
good, exciting teacher. Pretty progressive.
Right. Remember his Dust in the Wind sermon?
I do not remember that.
That made a huge impression on me because, you know, Kansas, you know, it's like...
You loved Kansas. Yeah. Only thing better than that would be a sermon on Styx or Supertramp or something.
I remember his Dust in the Wind sermon. He plays the song and then he talks about it. And I'm just thinking, this is the kind of church
I want to go to.
I want to go to. Yeah.
What are you, 2 weeks younger than me or something? July 6th, is that your birthday?
I'm 10th.
July 10th.
And you're?
June 22nd.
Yeah.
We're both turning 59 in a few weeks.
I know, the end of our 50s.
Impossible.
But it was still trying to hold the line. Remember what they call it, the big three?
Oh, yeah.
No drinking, no drugs,
no sex.
Cohabitation.
Cohabitation, we call it. That's right. That's exactly right.
And of course, it's just like, wow. You know, go ahead. Set up the pins,
I know.
You know, and here you are.
Challenges to knock them down.
Exactly. And I feel like I went about that with every ounce of energy that I had all those years. And, you know, you're a good sport. I mean, I felt like I drug you into quite a few situations.
Look for Mark Chapter 2 elsewhere here on Faith Biscuits when you find out this.
Within Christianity, you know, it's so Christ-focused
right.
that poor God gets a little bit backgrounded, a little bit.
That Janet felt like part of your converting to Judaism was almost an offering to set an example for your core family here, including your beloved daughters, and especially Sammy, that guess what? Our love is so big, it could even handle changing religions.
But before closing Mark chapter 1, I wanted you to hear the best story of all.
Sometimes I regret the fact that I didn't embrace more of what I think Whitworth really did offer.
They were really trying at many levels to teach us a lot of great stuff.
A lot of great stuff. I mean, but I always had such a, you know, here's a good example. Remember the 1984? They called it 1984.
Because that was in the future. Mark.
It was in the future, 1984. And it was the dining hall that was downstairs. Yes. And they were trying to serve more healthy...
It was healthy. We didn't use the word sustainable at the time, did we?
Right.
But was that a concern also? How did we get this food? Are we doing right by the environment? It was that.
Where is it sourced?
Uh-huh.
And I think it was more vegetarian a little bit than not as heavy on the meat.
And don't waste food. Here's a way to have less. And
okay, so there's all that going on, right?
Yeah.
So but I worked down there as the steward, you know, the person putting out the food and stuff.
Steward, exactly.
But then what do? But I go
and Denny's.
I turn it into. Remember, I'd go out there, and I would do these like comic routines or something. What was that about?
Are you kidding me? I was just going to bring this up. So there was theme nights.
Is that what it was?
There was theme nights when they'd want just a little school spirit, whatever. And there was one of the best. they'd have like an athletic night, a sport night.
Okay.
Do you remember? And people, we wore our sweats to dinner, and we wore weightlifting, and you had a headband on. Only you were probably dancing to "Let's Get Physical." I want to get the physical. Olivia Newton-John, but that's not what I want to talk about. I want to talk about a Western night in the dining hall.
Oh,
do you know
boy.
Where? Do you know where this is going?
I think it's.
This is. I've never.
On my.
You're gonna say a blot. Yes, it is a blot. You're exactly right. And
oh boy,
I've never been more proud of you. Western night. So, people wear jeans and cowboy boots and cowboy hats and plaid shirts, and you probably had country music, which we didn't like much, playing through the speakers. And then in these pre-Enlightenment days, people also came as Western Night cowboys and Indians. And so some came with some headdresses we got from Indian guides or whatever, some what kind of leather vest. Were people painting their faces? I mean, there was a little bit of this stuff of,
yeah.
Look, Western. And so here's what Mark does. This is one of my favorite stories about you. And you know where this is going. So it's Western night where cowboys and Indians come as cowboys and Indians to dinner tonight. And you're the steward. And so you introduce a couple people to talk about Western music, to talk about their cowboy hats, to talk about being raised on farms and what they do with horses. And they're kind of giving these two-minute talks at a microphone while we're having dinner. And then I come up and I introduce for Indian night. Did you have a name? I care if you had a name or not. And so you come out, oh God, in a raincoat, a nasty raincoat that you had got from Goodwill or stole from somewhere, whatever, and you have dirt on your face, and you're looking awful, and you've got in your hand a bag with a bottle in it.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember this?
Oh, man.
And you come up to the microphone, the room falls dead quiet because, for one, the implication is that you're drunk and you're stumbling up front. And that's already outrageous because you're already breaking rules. Everyone is dying to know because it's you and not anyone else. I think this really might be alcohol in that bottle, which they could kick him off campus or something for. You come up to the mic and talk about being someone red feather or whatever, and you tell a horrible story, a sad story about being unemployed, about how your family used to own land, but the white men took the damn land away, and you're swearing and probably using the F word, and people are outraged, and you hear there's a rustling around the dining hall, and there's someone get away from the mic. I'm just trying to remove myself. So at this point, I really don't want to be standing too close to you. And the plight of the red man in our country, and the Indian, and other, and finally you stumble away from the microphone. And I think that was probably when we decided it's time to close the bike down and let's just all finish our dinners and maybe try again tomorrow night with a different theme.
Thanks for taking the time for listening to Faith Biscuits. Hope you found it tasty.